Welcome to Writing and Publishing with Dumbold Bob. Thanks for joining us for this episode. Let's get started. And here we are with the second episode of our two-part first bonus episodes for the Writing and Publishing with Dumbold Bob podcast. With the overall details in the first one, let's move right into the topics for part two. For this effort, I brought together material many of you submitted and set up 8 questions, and in this episode, we're going to tackle the thoughts on agents. What is a media kit or a press kit? And why should you have one and keep it up to date? Are there any tips for trying to book appearances? And what's the big deal about social media? Here we go. We're going to start this bonus episode off with a question that, even on its own, may be the most frequently asked question that I get approached with. And if it's not the most frequent on its own, the sister question that it's paired with, yeah, these are the two questions that I get asked more than any others. Do I need an agent? And how do I find one? Let's start off with this. Depending on what you are working on, a good agent can be the most important part of any and all efforts for your project. What does an agent do? This is a massive oversimplification. A massive oversimplification. But basically, an agent works with you, a teammate in the process, as your representative in the presentation and sale of your work. Again, that's a massive oversimplification. A good agent, or agents, plural, or agency, a group, works with you in the creation of your book, getting it to the marketplace, setting up how it is presented to audiences, and the way you will be paid. Still, again, massive oversimplification. But let's get back to our questions with that as a general idea of what we're dealing with. Do you need an agent? The answers are no, yes, and maybe. Yeah, that's a wide range of answers. All of the answers, in fact. But it is pretty straightforward in application. If you're self-publishing, no. Chances are very high you will never need an agent when self-publishing. The biggest areas they work in have, to a degree, been removed. Finding a publisher and negotiating the sale. Plus, remember those numbers we keep revisiting? 90% of self-published authors sell 100 copies of their book. If you're an agent, how much time and effort are you investing into a project for 15% of, say, $400? For you and for an agent, let's just say the self-publishing arena is not one where the team is going to be mutually beneficial. If you're traditionally publishing, then yes. In fact, most publishing houses have gatekeepers, and some of those publishing houses insist on you having representation before you get to pass through the entryway. Other thoughts include their experience, which is going to help you maximize revenue from any and all possible creations of your work, as well as assisting you in keeping as much control of your work and its use as possible. So, there you go. No, you don't need an agent. And yes, you do need an agent. I also said maybe. Over the years, I've had the pleasure of talking to agents about things, and 4 of them said they had never considered representing a self-published effort, but could see a way that a proposal might be written out that had them thinking about it. All 4 of them basically went into a proof of concept thought as an example, where a small-scale project of some type validated a creative or unique idea. And all 4 of them also said it likely would mean eventually taking a self-published project into a traditional environment, which in itself creates a problem, since except in ridiculously rare scenarios, traditional publishers are looking to be the first ones to bring a book to the market. 2 interesting thoughts in response to that, though. The Martian and The Tale of Peter Rabbit. Those projects qualify as self-published first. One of the four agents also explained something very unique for them that had never happened, but they could see possibilities of. She lives in a community that, within a 10 to 12 mile radius, has a great selection of small and independent bookshops, along with community theaters. And her work as an agent and love of interacting with the community has made her very familiar to a few of the bookstores and theaters. She explained to me she has been waiting for an interesting proposal to arrive someday that doesn't quite cut it for book publishing thoughts, but might work as an unusual project with regional flavors for stage adaptation. Yes, no, and maybe. Now, how about finding an agent? Head over to your computer, pull up your search engine of choice, and look for the Association of American Literary Agents. Go to their homepage, and I want you to click on the tab that brings you to this section on ethics. Now, I am not saying membership with the AALA organization is a sign of a good or a great agent, nor am I saying an agent that isn't a member is bad. Those are not automatically valid assumptions. It's also not a sweeping endorsement or critique of the AALA. What I am saying is that the group's canon of ethics is fabulous. Just check out Section 8, which currently covers the charging of fees for evaluating queries and proposals, and they say, yep, this is a quote, is subject to serious abuse that reflects adversely on our profession. We will be getting into agents again very soon. For now, though, let's attempt to simplify all of this. For the most part, no, if you self-publish, you won't be working with an agent. Yes, if you traditionally publish, you will need an agent. And maybe, just maybe, if you have created something unique and appealing, you might be in a position to break some of the expectations and generate interest from an agent. Plus, when looking for an agent, start with the AALA and what they believe an agent should do when it comes to being open and direct about the services they provide. What is a media kit? A media kit is, at its foundation, a collection of materials used for promotional purposes. You're looking to get attention for you and your project and hopefully generate a response, such as an interview request, a feature article covering it, or even just a blurb announcing details. In my view, you should approach its design around having it represent you in a situation where you may not be there. The kit itself, there are certain musts: a press release about the project, images, usually the book cover and an author photo, and then details, which might be information about the book or, in the case of an appearance, what the event is about, where it's going to be, and so on. I also firmly believe in including a bio sheet for the author and contact information. Now, depending on your preferences, a fact sheet or even material that addresses what you think are some of the important questions about the effort can be valuable. And sample chapters or a selection of material from the work can be included. Over the years, I have had some outlets use material from my press kit, including what we could essentially agree was just cutting and pasting from that press kit, to produce articles and such without ever contacting me. And that's why I truly and deeply believe you need to be viewing it from a "did I cover everything" perspective. You cannot be mad about someone writing a quick piece about your project when they didn't even mention your website in it if you never mentioned that you even had a website in your media kit. It's absolutely not uncommon for a media outlet to, for instance, need a space filler in an upcoming edition, get your email with materials, and just run with it. Done. No return message or questions for you. If you didn't give them what they needed to know, that's on you. I'm also a big believer in constantly revisiting the materials for your press kit. If you happen to get dressed up, say for a special event, or you happen to be someplace particularly appealing for photographs, take a couple of pictures thinking about them as a possible author photo in the future. reread your author bio and modify it from time to time, say every 6 months. Update segments that have changed, refresh the wording so it isn't the same thing going out every time you need it, and so on. A press kit can include everything and anything that you feel is important, but the big four: press release, images, project details, and an author bio sheet. How do I reach out to libraries and bookstores and more and ask about appearances? It's a big one, a big question. It's an important question. And here's the best thing I can tell you to have in mind. You are not the first person to reach out and ask about having a reading, a signing, or so on. Now, sure, new director at a library, new bookstore opening, I suppose you could technically be the first person asking. More to the idea here, though, it's really easy to overthink it and to try and do too much. Someone assigned at a library to work on a calendar of events or community engagement isn't going to be surprised at all to receive your inquiry. In fact, such a person is likely expecting them. If you're reviewing a staff listing and you find someone that does community engagement, events, adult services, and so on, I feel comfortable saying they are getting letters and emails and phone calls beyond the ones coming from you. Combine all of this together, and we arrive at a place where I'm going to tell you: be kind, respectful, and professional in your words and approach, and ask. Just get to it. If you've done your homework, you know a great deal about the places you're approaching. You should already know if they have a calendar of events that includes things like an author appearance. So, say hello. Tell them what you have and why you are reaching out to them, and invite them to contact you with questions and information. These are people that love books, love authors, and love the writing community. They are not people to be feared, but they deserve your respect. And I cannot stress that kind, respectful, and professional part enough. Many of these locations are operating with constraints, such as budgets and size limitations, that you may not know about, no matter how good your research. Some of them have had horrendous experiences with other authors, and many times, in fact, most times, reactions have nothing to do with you as an individual, and yet the responses, or even the lack of responses, never feel any less personal. I'm going to say this a second time because it's important. These folks that you are going to be reaching out to love books. They love authors. They love readers. And if you want their time and want to be respected as an author, then respect their time and efforts. Some other tips when starting out. Look for places within a certain range. Say when you feel comfortable driving to and from in the same day. Keep records of your activity, especially names, email addresses, and more of the folks that respond to you. And if you are invited to schedule something, ask, is there anything I should know? Because not every place will operate in the same way. I've heard of libraries that couldn't allow book sales, bookstores that wanted you to have your own table or chair. And you might be stunned to learn how many authors have shown up for signings without pens or a way to sell their books because they weren't thinking about the pens or thought the library would provide a cashier. Let's wrap this two-part bonus episode up with social media. How important is social media? Excuse me for a second. I'm laughing with you, not at you. Sorry, little joke there. See, over the years, social media has become a bit of a funny topic for me. Why? Because I cannot believe how many authors seem convinced that it is a magical resource that solves every problem. I honestly cannot believe how many writers seem to think that they can schedule a book release for a Tuesday, post announcements on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and then their entire list of friends or followers will be clicking Add to Cart. Really? Time and again, I ask new writers what their plans are, and I hear about this platform or that platform, and they tell me they're going to start teasing the project. Then go in heavier with postings and cover images and blurbs and purchase links as the release date arrives. And they not only expect, they fully expect, and you cannot tell them otherwise, that every one of their friends will be buying a copy on the day of release and then share the posts so that their friends will buy copies over the days that follow. Yep, their brilliantly designed marketing plan is to tell their friends so their friends will buy on day one. And since their friends will tell their friends, the sales will continue on day two. And then, of course, those friends will tell their friends, and those friends will tell, and on and on and on. And it's not a great plan. If for no other reason than every one of your friends does not see every one of your posts, some of your friends may not even use social media that often. We'll dive a lot deeper when we get to an episode on social media. The point for now is you can't trust social media in and of itself to be much help. It does not guarantee that everyone will see your posts. It does not guarantee folks will share your posts or like them or even comment on them. And most importantly, it does not guarantee your friends or followers will buy books. It does not guarantee sales. That offered up. Most social media pages or profiles are free to create, and it can be a very useful tool. Social media is important. And here's a weird example I would use to explain it for now. Almost 30 years ago, I was talking to someone that worked in human resources. They were telling me how important it was to get an email address for use. His point at the time was that everyone was essentially expected to have one, and presenting it showed you were up to date on current events and technologies. Not having one showed that you weren't. Fast forward to today. Email addresses and a phone that can accept text messages are deeply embedded into everyday life. Social media and its uses are right up there as well. It's not a coincidence that so many businesses use a social media page effectively as an official business website. And if you are holding appearances and writing books, you want to have a way people can search for you and find something. And a social media page, one that you organize and set up and maintain the content on, is a decent place to start. You've been listening to Writing and Publishing with Dumb Old Bob. This podcast is brought to you by Parkside Backpack Productions in partnership with In My Backpack. To learn more about me, this podcast, and my writing, visit the In My Backpack site today at inmybackpack.com. I was assisted in the development of the podcast by Justin Gillen, Jay Gillen, and Karen Chappell. Justin is a phenomenal musician, and he wrote, played, and recorded all of the music we use on our podcasts. Jay is an extremely talented artist that has been delivering great work on projects with me for quite some time. In addition to all of his designs and efforts for Dumb Old Bob, he also created the iconic logo for In My Backpack. Karen is a creative, motivated, thoughtful woman that has been delivering countless exceptional technical results and ideas for our productions and has been a driving force in bringing our podcasts to reality. And while I would love to take all of the credit, the truth is, if you are enjoying the Dumb Old Bob podcasts, the talents and contributions of these three are playing a significant role in us being able to accomplish that. I invite you to send along your questions, suggestions, and comments. We have pages on several social media sites for Dumb Old Bob, and you can also reach us by sending along an email. Thanks for stopping in for this episode, and check in with us again soon. Backpackville, we're all friends here. Until the next time, have a great day.